The topic that we're going to talk to our next guest about is something that most of you know as being something that happens across the seas, and that is drone use. And drones are the unmanned aircraft that we kind of associate with surveillance, and also methods with missiles to take out Taliban and Al-Qaeda commanders over in Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan. But drones are coming to America. And in some ways, they can quickly scout rural areas for lost children. They could identify hotspots and forest fires that get out of control, and many other uses like that. The government has predicted that as many as 30,000 drones will be flying over the U.S. skies by the end of the decade, 30,000 drones at that time. So all the pieces seem to be lining up for the eventual introduction of routine aerial surveillance right here in American life, a development that would profoundly change or could profoundly change the character of public life here in the United States. The ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, has put out a policy paper on drones called Protecting Privacy from Aerial Surveillance, and we're really happy to have Chuck Samuelson, who is the executive director of the Minnesota chapter of the ACLU, here on the Roadhouse tonight. So, Chuck, welcome to the Roadhouse.
It's good to be up in the Roadhouse.
Yeah, it's nice to have you here, and especially a topic like this, which is really kind of been under the surface as far as the public knowledge of domestic use of drones or unmanned. I think there's a more technical name, unmanned aerial systems, I guess, is what is used.
Unmanned aerial surveillance platforms or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, something like
UAVs.
That.
UAVs.
What exactly are drones, Chuck, and what can they do? What are they? How are they used?
Well, a drone is an unmanned aerial vehicle. They are controlled typically from some site significantly far away. Many of them are controlled, frankly, from the University of North Dakota, which has a big program to train people to control drones. And then they get jobs with the military or with Homeland Security or with local sheriff's offices, et cetera, et cetera.
I think we all have kind of our own image of what a drone must look like. But as I read the article and also the paper that ACLU has put out about that, there's many different types of drones.
Yeah, there's a whole wide range. Some of them are quite large, actually, and can fly up to 30,000 feet high. Others are quite, and be up for weeks at a time. Others are quite small and are launched by soldiers or perhaps by law enforcement people. You know, and they only fly for a couple hours, and they get launched like you would throw a glider up. Some of them are sort of like large gliders. I know when I was a kid, you know, take advertising, but Trick cereal used to have gliders, and you with rubber band powered jobbies, and that's not unlike what a drone is, only they're bigger. And of course, they don't have rubber band engines.
They don't. You know,
they were great gliders, by the way. The cereal was for crap, but the gliders were wonderful.
I don't think we have to worry much about those, though.
No, not the balsa wood ones.
No, that's for sure. I was kind of wondering when I was reading about these, especially the small ones. You know, when you think about something that's only a foot long and it weighs less than a single AA battery, what makes it go? Do you know?
No, I don't know exactly how they go. Some
That's
of them
curious.
Have electric engines that are powered by sunlight, you know, kind of a photovoltaic thing. And, I mean, the technology of how they fly, some of them have most of the bigger ones, and that's really what we're talking about here are the bigger ones.
Now
they have gas engines, and they have huge wings, and they fly like gliders, and they're equipped with cameras. And the cameras are sent up to the satellite and then downloaded at some central where their command and control facility is, and they simply record everything. So you're constantly, you've lost all sense of public privacy, I guess is the way to describe it. And if the authorities want to follow you, they simply follow you around with these drones up. up in the satellite. So basically, you're constantly being tailed by the police, or you could be.
How have they been used domestically so far? And by that, of course, I mean in U.S. airspace.
In U.S. airspace, they've been used to search for marijuana fields. They've been used to follow people, you know, suspects. They've been used to do a whole bunch of surveillance kinds of general surveillance sorts of things. Not unlike, you know, down in the cities here, we have video cameras all over everything. Mm-hmm. And so all the big box stores all have video cameras on the outside, and they broadcast to the police department as well, or they're wired in. They don't really broadcast. And these drones would then be in addition to that. So up in Grand Marais, your sense of being able to have privacy in the woods, frankly, is gone. The same way that you could no more do nude sunbathing in the woods soon than you can do it down here on University Avenue.
Hmm.
I mean, that's ultimately what's happening. And to be frank, our laws have simply not kept up with technology. And so we right now the technology exists to create the scenario in the book 1984. And there's no laws to stop it.
Who controls how they're used now?
A whole wide variety of different people. Within 300 miles of the border, which would include Grand Marais with Canada international border, the Homeland Security folks are flying drones right now. The Clay County Sheriff has a drone in Moorhead. The Hennepin County Sheriff will have one or just got one in Hennepin County. They're flying them all over. And those are controlled by they're controlled by the county sheriffs, they're controlled by the federal government, by various agencies, the DEA, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. The list is, these are relatively inexpensive, especially for government things. They just tax you and take the money and buy it. It's a $12 billion a year industry. There is about 60 congressmen who get substantial money from the contractors of these drones. And so, you know, that there are grants monies available to buy them, et cetera, et cetera. I know the Hennepin County Sheriff's is getting his for free for 3 years.
Now, as I understand it, the FAA is supposed to be in charge of, you know, what airspace they use and
right. How
they use it. And
right.
And by 2015, things may change, and they'll expand the airspace that drones can be used in.
Yes, and they're expanding it right now. Remember that when we talk about them, we're really talking about us.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people we elect who make the choices and pass the bills, and they then give power to the bureaucrats who then make these decisions. And it's quite simple. And we ask, particularly since 9/11, and I fault people like me who are baby boomers. I mean, we ask our government not to use their police powers to fix the rents in society, the tears in society that criminals do. But we want to be protected. So we don't want to be victimized, but we just want to be protected. And of course, the quid pro quo is that if you want to be protected, give us your civil liberties. And we've been giving them away by tons, boxcar loads.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one more example. It's really sad, and eventually we're going to have to grow up and say, you know, we have to have a private sphere to our public life. We can't live in a society where we're constantly being spied on. That's un-American. And there's a line someplace, and we're going to have to decide collectively where that line is.
Now, we kind of went through, in a big way, we went through this with the Patriot Act and surveillance in so many ways.
Yep.
This will just be potentially an extension of the same laws?
The laws have existed. The Supreme Court ruled in 1986 that people should have no expectation of privacy any place that a law enforcement officer could see them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose, you know, I don't suppose. If a law enforcement officer could fly over you in a helicopter and see this, then we can have a drone. And that's the law. I think I would suggest that perhaps what we need are some limits to the use of technology by the government in general. You know the story of the frog? You know, you put a frog in cold water and turn the heat on, mm-hmm. and even though the frog could hop out, he doesn't. He just boils to death. We're the frogs. The Patriot Act, you know, they started the heat on. We push back a little bit, and they made some modifications to your library cards and stuff like that, but they've added drones, and there's not a huge groundswell against it, although there should be, particularly for people who live in rural areas and, frankly, cherish their privacy, their public privacy.
I see that in your report, which we'll talk about throughout this interview, and it's the ACLU's report about and recommendations for how to deal with the issue of drones, that the Predator drones have been available for domestic law enforcement operations in Los Angeles, and also federal agencies like the FBI, the Drug Enforcement Agency, have used them inside the U.S., and none of it was carried out with any public knowledge or debate.
That's right. That's right, exactly.
And that seems to be...
We're the frogs, remember? They just turned the heat up.
Seems to be the way that this is coming into society, rather than with a planned out, here's the laws, and here's how it should work, and here's how we protect ourselves.
Well, like I said, you know, earlier, we want to be protected. We want our government to protect us. And so they say, well, you know, we got to stop terrorists, and in order to stop terrorists, we have to know what's going on all the time. And we've created a huge industry. I mean, Homeland Security is a staggeringly large federal bureaucracy. Anybody who's flown much, I mean, it's really intrusive at the airports. All right, well, flying is a privilege, so, you know, if you don't like it, don't fly. There's a whole host of other technologies. Card readers, for example, license plate readers, I'm sorry. A state patrol uses them all the time. They can call up your license plate, and they can find out everything about everybody's license plate. And they just sit there and simply track people going down the roads, who drives where and when. I mean, and these drones fly over constantly, some of them airborne for weeks at a time, and they just take pictures, and the pictures are all downloaded, and so you're always being photographed.
What is in the works now, as far as what you know, through our Congress and our government agencies to control this? Have there been bills brought before Congress? Is there anything happening as far as what should the rules be?
Basically, no. I mean, it's time for people to get outraged about this and to write their congressman and to, you know, take a look at how your congressman votes on these issues. There are a number of congressmen, frankly, both Democrat and Republican, who have expressed dismay about this. And there are the majority of congressmen are just silent about it.
Is there pressures then, I assume, because of the production of these units? And I know in North Dakota, they've even established a major at the University of North Dakota
in a
four-year program to learn how to operate these things. So
yep. Mm-hmm.
There's a movement afoot for sure to make these a part of our life. Where was I going with that question? No, I kind of lost my place.
How do you stop it?
Well, no, is there pressures from many different places besides the government to move this forward, private industry as well?
Well, it's $12 billion a year. Lockheed, for example, General Dynamics, for example. These are anybody who builds airplanes also builds drones, Boeing. And so all those companies have a vested interest in selling lots and lots of drones. Add on to that, you've got not only the University of North Dakota and other schools like it that make money by training people to use drones, but you also have then the people who are hired after they've been trained to fly these things. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of people with a lot of money at stake. It's $12 billion a year. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And
that's more than you make.
It's a couple dollars more than Bob or I make here at the radio station. I
Even
know that
together,
for sure.
Probably.
Yeah, there's no question about that.
and you could throw my massive salary on top of it and wouldn't advance the scale at all.
Now, I know that I started out in the introduction into this this topic, some of the things that the drones can be used for in very positive ways.
Sure.
I would assume that the whole crux of the matter is try to design laws and basic rules that can keep it that way. Do you think this is possible?
Oh, sure. I certainly think it's possible. For example, you know, you can launch these things when you need them. Say there's people lost in the boundary waters, okay? Maybe there's a big blowdown and you want to find out, you're missing some people and you want to find out what might have happened to them, where they might be. I mean, some of these, especially smaller ones, you can launch these things, you know, from the ground. I mean, you can carry them in a backpack, open them up, and launch them. And they can fly around, and again, directed from, you know, far away places, and they can go, and they have cameras, and they have infrared sensors, and they can find all sorts of people who are lost or body, whatever. The list is very, very long. In addition, you know, the United States has satellites constantly, and the DEA is and Homeland Security are now able to task, that is, to move those satellites to spy on the United States. The suggestion that I would make is we need to decide what level of spying on our everyday innocent life we're going to tolerate and what known benefits we can get from this technology. I've mentioned a few. People get lost, you know, accident victims, things like that. These are all good things. But the technology can also be misused by people who want to invade other people's privacy. And my suggestion is that we as a country start the discussion, which hasn't happened yet. You've already said that. Start the discussion about what limits we ought to put on these. Because you could say, well, I think we ought to use them to look for drug smugglers. Was that a good use of them or a bad use? And how are you going to control that? So you can look for drug smugglers only on the borders, anywhere around, you know, that needs to happen almost in a town hall kind of a way or on a radio programs like yours or television shows, but frankly, all of the above. And we need to direct our representatives to start talking about this. And we need to ask that bills be introduced to limit the power of the government to spy on us. If you want to spy on somebody, I think, number one, you should have a warrant. You should go to a judge and say, we need to track Buck because he's a no-goodnik, and he's a no-goodnik for these reasons. Boom, boom, boom.
They already know that.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, he doesn't move around much, does he? Or is he mostly an indoor kind of guy?
Well, I'm kind of well-known, so why bother to try to learn more, you know?
Well, you know, sometimes many people, it's the 90% under the water. It's like an iceberg, you know.
There you go.
I think that there should be a warrant. Mm-hmm. So if they wanted to trail you with a drone or to spy on you with a drone, they should have a warrant. And I think that we should document and we should demand that the police document and show us what they're doing with these drones and how it's helping people without being abused. For example, there's been, I don't know if you've heard these articles up in Grand Marais, but one of the alternative papers here did a story, I think it was City Pages, but I couldn't swear to it, did a story on a former policewoman whose driver's license has been accessed by hundreds of other police officers. They want to get her address and get a look at her picture and so forth and so on. I don't know if you heard that story.
We did, yes. That was
Yeah. That's the same sort of misuse of information that could occur with a drone. Only it could be even more insidious because, let's say, for example, you wanted to follow your ex-girlfriend. Well, now you can. Real time, 24/7.
Huh. Yeah, it kind of opens up a whole different perspective on surveillance and what it does in America for all of us private people.
And Buck, what kind of society do you want to live in? I mean, do you want to live in a society where the government is constantly spying on you? Innocent or guilty, do you want to live in a society like that? Is that America? Or is it more like the Soviet Union?
Now, I imagine some type of democratic control is also be a part of the answer.
Yeah, I think so, but I think the reality is the Democratic control is going to come through our legislatures where they simply say, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do, and if you want to do something in between, you have to get a warrant.
You know, the as I mentioned before, the FAA right now is more or less supposed to be in charge of where these things fly, but they don't have a very good track record, safety-wise.
What, the drones?
The drones.
Well, yeah, they crash, but
they crash a lot.
Because, yeah, they do, but it's just, it's a machine, you know, so you got a fire or something, and that's it, you know. The worst case, you'd have a fire. I mean, you know, they generally, when they crash, too, they don't crash onto people or houses or anything.
I think they, I read here somewhere that they're 7 times more susceptible to have a safety problem or a crash than private planes, and like 350 times more likely to have them than our commercial planes. And some of these things are big.
Oh, yeah, some of them are quite large. The ones that stay up for a long time are, you know, 30, 40 feet wingspans.
Mm-hmm.
These are big. And remember, you know, the ones that were... we've used to kill people in Pakistan, or you know, there were a bunch of American citizens who were blown up by rockets launched by these drones. They're big enough to carry rockets that can blow up tanks. So those are pretty heavy things, you know, I think.
Now, with all new technology or newer technology, it seems like it starts off in hands that we kind of like to have it, but it doesn't always stay there. Where do you think that can go, as far as that type of danger in the future with these things?
Well, as Lord Acton said, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So I think that where it'll go is totally dependent on who has control of them and how those people, how susceptible they are to be corrupted by power. I could surely see somebody like J. Edgar Hoover, for example, using this technology. If he was in charge of the FBI, again, if he came back, he could use them to create dossiers on people, particularly powerful people, and use that information to silence them, which is what happened in the 40s and 50s and 60s with the FBI and politicians.
And I would guess not only institutional problems like that, but also individual problems with people like, gee, the fellow that young man that just killed all the people in Colorado, that all of a sudden we have, you know, a tool that can be very well used in the wrong hands. Not, I mean, it's out of the bag now.
Right. And you know, there is relatively cheap software that will allow you to hijack these things because they operate. That's the other thing. You know, the guy who's out flying this thing could be sitting in, I don't know, Grand Forks, North Dakota, say, and could be flying a machine somewhere out in, well, you know, over Grand Marais or in the Boundary Waters or in the Upper Peninsula. And that's a long ways away. And someone could hijack that machine and simply divert that machine to his or her own purposes. And, of course, there's always the personal kinds of things. That guy in North Dakota might be following up his significant other or following up somebody he used to have a relationship with in wherever, you know, halfway around the world.
My co-host here, Bob Carter, has a question for you as well, Chuck.
Hi, Chuck. Let me just play devil's advocate with you for a minute.
Sure.
I'm a law-abiding citizen. I don't break the law. Why do I care whether the government's... I'm not doing anything wrong. And why should people who are breaking the law, who they want to catch, have the same rights as I do?
Well, okay. A couple questions there. One is, your rights and you're handicapped by the fact that these things are spying on you all the time. That is an oppressive burden. And I'm sorry, you're innocent. You should care because it's part of being an American that you should be able to freely go around without being under constant surveillance. The courts have said, oh, this is just like a police officer watching. It's like, are you nuts? Like a police officer watches you 24/7 and follows you everywhere? No. You should have the right not to be followed.
Yeah.
And in terms of the bad guys, you know, the bad guys aren't bad guys until you arrest them, try them, and convict them. And, you know, frankly, it is amazing to me that we say, well, we don't want the bad guys to get away with stuff. And yet I look at people as I'm driving home from work and I'm getting my doors blown off. And to be absolutely blunt, I'm speeding. And these guys, I don't know where they're going. There must be a fire. I mean, they're just in a heck of a hurry. And, you know, somehow they don't consider themselves criminals, but, you know, that's a misdemeanor, people.
Yeah.
So I think I look at that and I say, you know, what we really want to avoid is the idea that we can, that Big Brother can watch and fix everything that we do before we do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that is, this is just, like I said, the analogy with the frog is very good, because we're in the water now and it's getting hot, but we're used to it. And the argument that I'm innocent, I don't have anything to worry about, that's the same argument the frog makes before it starts to boil.
Chuck, I want to, we're kind of running out of time here, but I wanted to mention where that report that the ACLU has put out for folks that want to see more information and recommendations that the ACLU has put out concerning the use of drone aircraft. Where can folks find that on the web?
The first place you should go to for stuff like this is www.aclu.org. And there's a whole raft of information on drones, on the use of drones against civilians to kill, or U.S. citizens to kill them, and also a whole host of other civil liberties issues. A lot of times, too, frankly, you'll get a lot of interesting, I hate this phrase, but I can't think of another one right now, takes on issues of the day. The ACLU is not this radical liberal group that sometimes we're accused of being, but rather we're very interested in the rights of individuals versus the power of the government. And so sometimes we're on the side of the progressives, and on other side, other times we're not. But that's the ACLU. Anyway, go to the ACLU website, aclu.org, or you can go to the Minnesota website, ours, which is aclu-mn.org, and you can follow up the things that we're doing, like the cases in front of the state Supreme Court regarding the amendments and things like that.
And I found this one report under reports, under the header of reports on the front page, and it's called "Protecting Privacy from Aerial Surveillance."
Right. It would be in the privacy section of the website. Mm-hmm. You'll find a lot of interesting things. Also about cameras, which is a big issue that people don't even think about.
Chuck, I want to thank you so much. We've been speaking with Chuck Samuelson, who is the executive director of the Minnesota chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union. And Chuck, here on a Friday night, staying at the office. And thanks again, Chuck.